Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth Podcast, the More edition. A little 1976 disco for you there, as we bring you more about the player who is widely expected to be the number one pick in the draft, LSU quarterback Joe Burrow. I'll ask draft expert Dane Brugler if selecting Burrow number one overall is a no-brainer, and also get some names that he thinks could be there when the Bengals are scheduled to make the first pick in the second round. Plus, who knows a quarterback better than one of his offensive linemen? I'll talk to LSU guard Damian Lewis and find out what Burrow is like in the huddle. And you'll want to hear his prediction for the Bengals' future if they select his college quarterback. The Bengals Booth Podcast is presented by Prime Sport, the official fan travel and hospitality partner of the Cincinnati Bengals. And here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing. It's the greatest thing since Josh Lewin's Throwback League podcast. With the cancellation of March Madness and the suspension of most pro sports leagues, there's still a place to listen to ball games. Josh Lewin's Throwback League podcast. Josh actually started this about a month ago, and it's a March Madness-style tournament featuring 48 of the best Major League Baseball teams from the last 25 years. A computer program spits out the results, and then Josh broadcasts a chunk of the game. A new game comes out every Monday. Each podcast is about 45 minutes long, and the attention to detail is phenomenal. If you would like to learn more, just go to thethrowbackleague.com. Now, let's get to football. Every year before the draft, I wind up buying a few draft guides, and my favorite in recent years has been Dane Brugler's. He's currently the NFL draft guru for The Athletic, and I recently sat down with him at the NFL scouting combine to discuss Joe Burrow, the Bengals' track record in the draft, and how he became a draft expert. Is Joe Burrow number one overall a no-brainer in your opinion?
Absolutely. Coming off one of the best seasons we've ever seen for a quarterback, when you list the traits that you look for at the quarterback position, it starts with mental processing, leadership, accuracy, the composure, pocket awareness. I mean, he checks all those boxes, and you know, we can talk about how he does not have the greatest arm. We can talk about his 9-inch hands or whatever. That's fine, and that matters. But they just don't overthink this. Yes, he did it in one season, but I think the context is required when you talk about him transferring into LSU, a brand new program, brand new system, learning the coaches, learning the teammates. We started to see this at the end of his junior season. I mean, he was the MVP of the Fiesta Bowl. The last four games of his junior year, we started to see this. Now, no one expected this, but you know, I think we saw him working towards this. And when he became more comfortable within that program, obviously the adding Joe Brady and you know, some wrinkles of the passing game surely helped. But Joe talked about yesterday here at the combine how just giving him more freedom at the line of scrimmage was the biggest difference with Joe Brady coming in, and you know, between his junior year and senior year. He is incredibly confident, and that shows on the field, off the field. They do not need to overthink this. He is the number one pick.
How does his LSU offense from last year transfer to the NFL?
Well, I think the fact that they let him do a lot of things at the line of scrimmage, you see that. He does look to the sideline and all that, but he's making those pre-snap reads you know, based off of what he's seeing. He's reading the safety. He understands where to go with the football. And it's the thing I was most impressed with when you watch his film. He's under constant pressure, but no matter what, he's calm, composed there, and he always knows where his outlets are because he's just so comfortable within that system. And so I think he always knows what the defense is trying to do, where his receivers are going to be, and where he can find his open receivers. And that's something that's going to translate from that LSU offense to the pros, no matter where he goes, no matter what system they want to run. That confidence, that composure, I think is something that he really developed at LSU, and that's going to show in the NFL.
I saw you wrote recently you're projecting immediate NFL starter with Pro Bowl skills. That's setting the bar very high.
It is, but when you draft a player number one overall or consider him number one overall, that's what you're expecting, you know, and especially for a redshirt senior. This isn't, you know, last year we saw a guy like Dwayne Haskins who, you know, for the Redskins went first round, didn't play until the end of the season. He was a redshirt sophomore when he came out, so he should have been a junior really last year in college. Joe Burrow, even though he doesn't have that experience in terms of on the field, only 2 years of starting experience, he's a redshirt senior, an older guy. He's ready for this. This isn't something where it's going to be a learning curve. He's going to come in from day one. He's going to work his tail off. You know, Drew Brees is kind of his guy. That's his mentor. That's who he learned, you know, kind of watched throughout over the years. And that's, I think, the work ethic that Drew Brees approaches the game with. That's the way Joe Burrow does as well. And so I don't think there's any question he is going to be the starter for whoever drafts him in 2020. And, you know, there are going to be some bumps along the way with any rookie quarterback, but he absolutely has Pro Bowl potential.
We're talking to Dane Brugler, draft analyst for The Athletic. Let's move to the 33rd overall pick, first pick in the second round. I am predicting that the Bengals are going to trade down to get more picks in the second round, but if they don't, give us a few names that you think might be there that would be a good fit in Cincinnati.
Well, I think that you get your quarterback on offense. I think they could go not one of two ways, but two options that really make a lot of sense to me. Receiver to help out your quarterback. I think you could say three ways. Receiver to help out your quarterback, offensive line to help out your quarterback, and then finding your quarterback on defense, especially at linebacker. It'll be interesting to see which linebackers end up going in the first round. You know, we know Isaiah Simmons will be a top 10 pick. I think Patrick Queen is going to be a top 20 pick. He's just too good to fall. But you know, a guy like Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma, a guy like Zach Bond from Wisconsin, could one of those two guys fall to the 33rd pick? If they do, then I think that'll be really intriguing. Two guys that play with a lot of speed. They're very diverse with what they offer. Zach Bond being more of a pass rusher in college, who's going to be more of an off-ball guy in the NFL. But you know, we've seen him. Watching his film, you see him carry wide receivers deep. He'll stay hip to hip with a running back on the wheel route. He looks just fine when moving in reverse. Kenneth Murray, he's a little late to sort things at times, but the play speed, the competitive toughness, off the charts. He's a really fun player to watch. If they do go on offense, wide receiver, it's really interesting because you know we know this has the potential to be a historic class. And it's not just, you know, first round, but it's the second round, the third round, and so on and so on. We're going to see some guys at the receiver position be drafted later than they should, just because teams are going to say in the first round, yeah, you know, we really like, LaVisca Chenault or T. Higgins, but we need a tackle. And if we don't get a tackle now, we're not going to get them later. So we're going to go ahead and take Josh Jones from Houston here or Austin Jackson from USC. And we still feel great about our wide receiver options in the second, third, even the fourth, fifth round. And so I think there are going to be some interesting wide receiver options there at 33 that are going to make the Bengals think. You know, could they go with a Justin Jefferson, reunite him with Joe Burrow? Could one of those two guys I just mentioned, Higgins or Chenault, still be on the board for them? Jalen Reagor from TCU, another one. They're going to have some options at receiver if that's the direction they want to go. And then on the offensive line, we know they need depth. All 32 teams need depth on the offensive line. So I think they could go tackle, they could guard on the interior. And, you know, that would certainly help, their young quarterback. They're, you know, kind of getting two first-round picks with Jonah Williams coming back from last year, hopefully healthy. So boosting that offensive line certainly makes sense.
You gave some linebacker names that are likely or possibly could go in the first round. Mm-hmm. Does it get pretty thin after that at that position? Because obviously that's a weakness for Cincinnati.
A little bit. I mean, I think there are a few options on day two that I like a lot. Malik Harrison from Ohio State is one of those former high school quarterback who he wanted to play offense in high school or in college. He wanted to play receiver. They moved to linebacker, and I think that was kind of the smart thing. He's a big guy. He's a tremendous run defender, but he's also athletic enough, and I think he'll show that here at the combine that it's just more of a comfort level in terms of coverage. He has the athleticism to do it. He just needs to get comfortable with his reads and moving in reverse and that type of thing. So I think Malik Harrison in the second round makes sense. when you get to the third round, Akeem Davis-Gaither from App State is a name to know. He's kind of the third round version of Isaiah Simmons. You know, he's long, he's a lean athlete. You can do a lot of things with him with how you line him up. Off the ball, you can play him deeper. You can play him as a blitzer off the edge. Just a really versatile chess piece. And so this linebacker class, I think we're going to see three, maybe four guys go in the first round, and then maybe three, four guys on day two, second, third round. So it does thin out a little bit.
A couple more questions for draft expert Dane Brugler. From 2009 to 2014, the Bengals drafted extremely well. They had a run of six straight good drafts. And then since 2015, not so much, partly because their first round pick seems to get injured every year and misses all or part of the rookie year. As you evaluate the Bengals draft over the years, is there anything in particular that stands out?
Bad luck. It's some of that, injury stuff. You can't really, Jonah Williams was, not someone that had an injury history at Alabama. I mean, he was a reliable starter, and just, same thing with Billy Price. How do you predict that stuff? And obviously Billy Price, his injury stuff started here at the combine, unfortunately, with his bench press when he partially tore his pec. That's been a little bit of a surprise, seeing him struggle as much as he had, coming from a bigger program like Ohio State, starting 50 plus games for the Buckeyes. He's kind of the reminder that there's no such thing as a sure thing when it comes to the draft. Going to the NFL level when you're facing bigger, faster guys, there is a little bit of a unknown there. And for a guy like Billy Price, like that's been part of the learning curve for him. But I am eager to see Jonah Williams back on the field, see what he can do. I think he was, whether he ends up being a tackle or guard long term, he is a guy that's going to be, as long as he stays healthy, he has the talent to be a starter in this league for a long time. Hopefully he is just able to stay healthy.
I've enjoyed your guides for years. How did you become a draft guru? How did this become so interesting to you?
I'm an Ohio guy. I grew up in Northeast Ohio, and when the Browns came back in '99, I was probably 13 years old. I became enamored with the process. What made a good college player into a good NFL prospect. And that was the year with Ricky Williams and Edgerrin James and Donovan McNabb and Tim Couch, and just working through these guys, I was so enamored with the process. And so it turned into a hobby, and then I decided, there's nothing I want to do the rest of my life but just study these guys and figure it out. And I love it. And I was able to, if you want to be a doctor, you go to medical school. If you want to be a lawyer, you go to law school. If you want to be a scout, what do you do? There's no direct path. And so I just kind of forged my own way doing my draft guide that was able to open some doors for me. I went to Mount Union College in Northeast Ohio. And my senior year, I worked for the football team, and we had a pretty good player named Pierre Garçon. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of scouts come through Alliance checking him out. And so it was up to me working for the team to show these scouts around, take them to practice. And that really started my networking, getting to know those guys. They were able to mentor me. They're still mentors to this day. Thankfully, they opened doors for me to kind of learn the business and everything. And it's been really fun being on the media. I never thought I'd be on the media side of things, but I've enjoyed it because I get to, I don't work for one team. I kind of work for, every team, because I get to, scout all these guys trying to figure out where they fit best and, their future. And I'm not going to get everyone right. I'm not delusional to think that, I'm going to nail all these guys. But, I think I feel good about my batting average, and my draft guide has been something that has really been kind of the backbone of my work. And I dare anybody to find a more thorough draft guide out there, because I put a lot of work into it. And it's not just the analysis and what, strengths, weaknesses. It's the background and, what kind of family does he come from? That, to me, that's the best part of this, is the journey. Because there's 337 guys here at the Combine. Not there aren't two of these guys that had the same journey. You know, it from elementary school to high school to college, there's something going on in their lives, whether it's adversity or maybe they, you know, were a basketball player that became a football player, whatever it is. It's just, it helps shape who they are and it helps tell you where they're going and project their future. And so I really try to put all that into the draft guide. And, you know, it's, my goal is to paint a picture. If you know nothing about the player, after reading my write-ups and my reports and my draft guide, you know who he is and you have a pretty good feel for the player that he is.
That first draft that you mentioned was also the Akili Smith draft. That one hurts.
Yeah, I didn't mention him on purpose. I mentioned everyone in that top five except for him. That was by design.
That's a painful memory. Your guide is awesome. Appreciate the time. Thanks very much.
Anytime. Thank you.
Dame published a 3-round mock draft for The Athletic on March 4th. He obviously had the Bengals taking Joe Burrow number one overall, then had them selecting Baylor wide receiver Denzel Mims with the first pick in the second round, and Auburn offensive tackle Prince Tagawanogo at the top of the third. Now let's get to the latest Bengals news. The team announced on Friday that it has released offensive lineman Cordy Glenn. No surprise there. The Bengals reportedly tried to trade him, but found no takers. Releasing Cordy frees up $9.5 million that can be used in free agency. As of this recording, the free agent negotiating period begins on Monday, and then teams can start signing players on Wednesday. The deadline for franchise tagging players is also on Monday, and the Bengals are expected to use the tag to retain A.J. Green. They would then have until July 15th to work out a long-term extension with the wide receiver, who turns 32 at the end of July. The deadline for players to vote on the new collective bargaining agreement is Saturday at 11:59 p.m. If the players approve the proposal, it would mean labor peace between players and owners through the year 2030. Before we get to our next guest, here's a quick reminder that you can take your Bengals pride to the next level in 2020 with an official Bengals fan package from Prime Sport. Like Joe Burrow, offensive lineman Damian Lewis spent the last 2 years at LSU. He was a JUCO All-American at Northwest Mississippi Community College before heading to Baton Rouge, and this past season he was the starting right guard for the undefeated national champs. Lewis was one of 16 LSU players invited to the scouting combine, and I spoke to him about his quarterback.
Describe Joe Burrow in the huddle for me.
Joe real funny, you know, guy who like real calm out there, but he funny in the huddle, you know, he'll get us going. If we doing something that we don't need to be, he'll joke around, tell everybody huddle up, we don't got to go. But we did a lot of tempo. He just guy who just keep the energy going, just going to get people going. If it's time to work, you know, he'll click it on and say, let's go to work.
The 60 touchdown passes speak for themselves, but how important was his leadership and the intangibles in leading you guys to a perfect season?
It always started with the leaders. You know, we watch him. He get us going. It started in 2018 when he came. We transferred in together, and it really just started out. Joe know that what he came here to do and just win championships and ball game, and that's exactly what he did. I felt like he would lock in from day one and he was ready to go.
A lot of people have wondered why he jumped so much in terms of his play from his junior year to his senior year. Obviously, there is a different scheme with Coach Brady coming in, but was there anything other than that in your opinion?
Joe always been a great player. You can't take that from, you know, some stuff make people stand out more, but I feel like that Joe always had what it take for the, you know, just be a one of the great quarterback, elite quarterback. So I feel like that coming in the offseason, he was working real hard, all those days and long nights that he put in, it's just like all the stuff he just took in, he was hearing the media, and just, I don't think he even care about the media, like listen to the media that much, but he just did what he had to do for his family and know that was at stake for him. So he just went out there with the chip on his shoulder and knowing what we had to do, and we told each other that we want to win a national and a SEC championship, and that's exactly what we did. We weren't coming here to lose.
Seen the footage from the Central Florida game and the bowl game the previous year where he gets drilled and then pops right up and then seems to get better after that. What did that moment say?
That where it really started. That right there when he got hit, took that big hit, Everybody, he jumped right back up. Everybody on that sideline looked up and said, "That's our quarterback. That toughness and that grit over there." Joe jumped right back up and he went right back to work. And the next play, he threw the 40-yard touchdown, 50-yard touchdown, and everybody like, "That's our quarterback. We want to follow behind that guy. He gonna lead us to the national, and he gonna lead us to the SEC championship." And that's exactly what he did. Went 15-0.
So if he goes number one overall, what are the Cincinnati Bengals getting?
They getting a hard-working guy who love his job, who love to compete, who gonna have fun out there and just really enjoy and just help them to the help them to the Super Bowl.
If the Bengals select Burrow, let's hope that Damian Lewis is like Nostradamus in predicting that Burrow will lead the Bengals to the Super Bowl. That's going to do it for this episode of the Bengals Booth Podcast, brought to you by Prime Sport, the official fan travel and hospitality partner of the Cincinnati Bengals. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe, and if you have a minute, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more Bengals fans find this podcast. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.